Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. I'm looking forward to getting into our new series on our union with Christ. Before we do, number one, we always share the reasons why we do these videos, Adventures in Grace. Number one is so that you will have a real and tangible relationship with God. There is more to a relationship with God than believing in someone you haven't met versus meeting God himself, experiencing him, listening to his voice, walking with him, being very aware of his presence, living in that place of encounter where your response to God, number two, is answers to your prayers, or your response to how real he is your faith. And number three, the ability to share our testimonies with others. Well, as you know, we always share Matthew and chapter 11, verse 27 to 30 in the Message Bible, which is our scripture reference for all of these videos. It says this, "Now Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen." Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Well, of course, these scriptures are an invitation from Jesus so that we can have the same kind of tangible relationship with God the Father as Jesus enjoyed, and therefore, we can expect to walk as the Christ. Well, this is really what our this particular part of a series is about. Our union with Christ is our oneness with God, how that our union with Christ has made us sons of God. And the last session we did, we were over in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, which is really a great scripture. I'll read it again for you. It says, "Beloved, now we are sons of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now, one translation said, "Now we are sons of God, and we are." Now, I like that. Number one, now we are sons of God, not into the future. We're not just worms and wretches. I grew up with that mentality. I'm just a worm. I'm just a wretch. I'm just trying to make it through. I'm just, you know, living in my poverty and living in my sickness and disease. But, oh, I'm giving God praise. No, that's stupidity. What Jesus did is he purchased for you redemption, for you to live on the mountaintop. Hallelujah. You've been raised together with him in heavenly places. It's time that we understand that and live in that heavenly dwelling. Well, this scripture, I like what it says. Now we are sons of God. And then like that one scripture says, or translation said, and we are. Just further emphasizing, yes, we are sons of God. Something has happened to us that has brought on a brand new creation. A brand new species of being has been created. It didn't evolve. It was created in Christ. And this is the wonderful, wonderful redemptive reality that will cause you to identify with Jesus instead of identifying with your flesh. And notice it says, it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. Well, we could take that to say, you know, when we see him, and of course it says this, when we see him, we'll go on to say, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Many would say, well, this means when we see him come in the clouds, then we'll know what we're supposed to be. But no, the Holy Ghost is the revelator. He's the one bringing revelation to the body of Christ that we might see Jesus right here and right now and know in this generation, no, in this dispensation, no, right here on the earth, who we are in Christ. And notice it says it has not yet been revealed. Well, as we get revelation, and we're going to see things as we get into these videos in this particular series. We'll see things. You'll see things. And as you see it, then you realize that's who you are. The more you see of Jesus, the more you see of you. Hallelujah. And then, of course, it goes on to say, for we shall see him as he is. Well, let's just look at this. Not only has our union with Christ made us sons of God, but it's also made us righteous. And of course, being a son of God, you can't be a son of God and be unrighteous. Well, people lived like that for 4,000 years under the law, under the old covenant, where man did not have a change in his spirit, in his heart. Now, that didn't mean men didn't have good intentions, but good intentions won't change your spiritual condition. That's something that a new birth or a spiritual birth can only do. And that can only happen if there's someone that is so perfect and so holy that could take your place. Folks, this is something that mankind cannot do on his own. There's nothing that man can do to improve his status spiritually. Yes, I understand we can go to school. We can certainly pay attention to mom and dad as they're training us in certain arts or skills upon this earth. Those things definitely help, and those things definitely help to perfect our skill with our physical man or our mentality as we see things earthly. But we're not just trying to be better earthlings. I know that sounds funny. We're endeavoring to what? Become better at being sons and daughters of the Most High God, to see our place in Him. We'll see this as time goes on, but He raised us up to sit together with Him in heavenly places. This is part of our redemption. If we're seated in heavenly places, where is Jesus seated? At the right hand of God. You got to be kidding. You really and truly believe that we're seated at the right hand of God, that we have been lifted up that high? Isn't that taking too much upon ourselves? Well, remember, to take anything upon yourself would be to take what God sees about you and to believe it. And of course, this is one of the most difficult things for folks because you just see things according to the flesh. You try to wrap your brain around spiritual realities and you can't do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us that things that are of the Spirit are spiritually discerned. And it is the Holy Ghost who reveals these things to our spirit. Aren't you thankful that we have the mind of Christ, the capacity spiritually to understand the things of God, where someone who doesn't have the mind of Christ, in other words, who's not born again, would struggle with these things? Thank God we don't have to struggle. We can walk in victory. Wow, let's just look at some of these things. This is one of my favorite passages. It's Romans chapter 4, 5 through 8. I might read this in another translation as well, but it says, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. And all that's talking about for him who believes in what Jesus did for him. So the individual that tries to perfect himself, then he doesn't have the righteousness of God. He has his own righteousness. And let's see how far that'll get you. Because all you have to do is fail once to ruin the whole thing. In other words, it's like Jesus talking about, it's just a tiny little bit of leaven, but it ruins the whole lump. And so as it goes on, it says, just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Do you hear what just was spoken there? I'm going to go over here to Romans chapter 4, and I'm going to look in the Passion Translation. And this is in verse 5. It says, if you're a hard worker and do a good job, you deserve your pay. We don't call your wages a gift. This is actually in the Message Bible. Let's go to the Passion. And verse 5. But no one earns God's righteousness. It can only be transferred when we no longer rely on our own works, but believe in the one who powerfully declares the ungodly to be righteous in his eyes. It is faith that transfers God's righteousness into our account. Even King David himself speaks to us regarding the complete wholeness that comes inside a person when God's powerful declaration of righteousness is heard over our life. Apart from our works, God's work is enough. Here's what David says. What happy fulfillment is ahead for those whose rebellion has been forgiven and whose sins are covered by the blood? What happy progress comes to them when they hear the Lord speak over them, I will never hold your sins against you. Now, let's look in the Message Bible. And this starts out like this. If you're a hard worker and do a good job, you deserve your pay. We don't call your wages a gift. But if you see that the job is too big for you, that it's something only God can do and you trust him to do it, you could never do it for yourself, no matter how hard and long you worked. Well, that trusting him to do it is what gets you set right with God by God. It's a sheer gift. You see, this is the righteousness that we're talking about. You can't do it within yourself. You're going to have to trust God to actually do it for you. And that's what Jesus came to do, what you couldn't. And he goes on to say, David confirms this way of looking at it, saying that the one who trusts God to do the putting everything right without insisting on having a say is one fortunate man. Fortunate those whose crimes are whisked away, whose sins are wiped clean from the slate. Fortunate the person against whom the Lord does not keep score. Wow. These are awesome thoughts. And you know, I want you to realize from this moment on, we're going to have to start thinking according to these messages in a very absolute tone. Say, what do I mean by that? Well, first and foremost, let me say, the word absolute is still used in our society, but it's not necessarily lived as much as it's used. In other words, we may say, oh yes, absolutely, I believe that. But if we were actually wanting to tabulate how we lived on a regular basis, it's probably very high percentage-wise that we don't live as absolute as we'd like to think. You know, there's a song, and we were just in a meeting, and of course they were singing it. It's a beautiful song. It says, I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. Well, you know, everyone loves singing that song. The only problem is I don't know too many people. I mean, really, honestly, too many people. Like, I couldn't count them all on just two hands, maybe just one hand. I don't know very many people who actually believe that God is all they need when it comes to healing. They all go to the doctors. And going to the doctors, going to other kinds of medicine, they do all they can in order to get well while they're quote-unquote believing God. Well, if you are believing God and God was all you need, I believe you are all I need, then why would you ever go anywhere else, especially when it doesn't cost anything, and especially when it's a perfect healing, and especially when it's a very timely healing. You don't have to wait forever. It comes right now, right here, right now. God touches you. The life of God is in you. His healing has already been provided for you. Glory, thank God, we're healed. In fact, why doesn't somebody in your heart get healed right now? And somebody who's got some type of blockage right here, you know, as you begin to swallow and you've got a blockage right here in your chest, why don't you just be healed right now? Just because. For no other reason, but just because. Amen? Be healed. God wants you well. God wants you well. Man, I can sense there's people that are dealing with all kinds of problems in their heads as far as not only noise in their ears, but also noise in their head, trying to be free from that noise of the world. And then there's those that are just literally screaming in their head with pain. And I come against that in the wonderful name of Jesus and command those devils that would try to bring such distraction to the mind and to the soul and to the heart. I command those voices to stop and for deliverance to come right now in the wonderful name of Jesus. And I mean, I've got a testimony. I don't even want to go any further. We'll get right back to it. We've still got a few more moments here. But I love this testimony. It's really, really good. Let's see if I can't find the one that I was just reading a moment ago. Let's see. Okay. Wow. Well, I was just reading one, and it was so good. Maybe this is it right here. Okay, this is it. A good friend of mine recently introduced me to The Adventures of Grace, starting with Unseen Realms. We both live in Uganda. I started listening to the first teaching, and something amazing happened. As Jim was teaching, he said, "Someone listening has been healed of a stomach issue." I had stomach issues, so I was immediately healed of my stomach. As he kept teaching, he then said, "Someone listening has been healed in the eyes." Well, I did have an issue with my eyes, so I received, and immediately my sight was improved. What a wonderful, loving God we have. I have no idea when that video was recorded, but there was God's power working on me as the word was given. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jim, for great teachings. May God bless you blessings on you, and may they increase exponentially. Well, I just wanted to make sure I give you that, because all of a sudden we broke out into just sharing some things concerning healings. And I just wanted you to know a grace story came in of someone that was listening just like you're listening today. Why not you be healed just like they were healed? Okay, the part I want to really bring your attention to is that we don't receive anything from God by your works. This is something we've really got to get a hold of. And speaking of absolutes, in other words, when it says it like this, then totally let go of anything that contradicts this. In other words, you may be thinking, yes, but what about no? Get rid of all those buts. Just let it be exactly, the word of God be exactly as it is, that we do not work for our righteousness. We must trust in Him for our righteousness, which is so liberating and freeing, because then to receive the righteousness of God, if you didn't work for it, then no bad work or good work you do afterwards is going to change it. You've got to let God liberate your soul from all that mentality that puts you in the equation. God didn't need you in the equation as much as when he worked with Abraham. If you'll remember, while he was doing the covenant with Abraham, he put Abraham aside and put him asleep over in Genesis chapter 15. Why? Because Abraham was involved trying to cut all the birds down in pieces and the animals in pieces and set them up just perfectly. And then there came some vultures and he was shooing them away. In other words, Abraham was too involved, and God just kind of like knocked him over the head, you know, and just put him into a nice deep sleep. And Abraham was able to see what was going on, but he wasn't able to respond at that moment, which was good, because God didn't want Abraham to ruin it. Remember, if God could have used man in the covenant, he would have, but he couldn't find anyone greater than himself. Therefore, he cut the covenant with himself. That's over in Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 13. This is so important, because when it says, "But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies," that means declares righteous the ungodly, his faith is accredited for righteousness. Just like David said, "Blessed is the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works." Why? Because if he imputes righteousness apart from works, as I mentioned earlier, then it's not your works or wrong works that's going to mess it up. And as we finish here, look at what it says. "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven." Yes, he forgave all our sin. "And whose sins are covered." Yes, he remitted them all. "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin." Amen. Thank God our sin is gone. In other words, the sin problem is over. We're going to talk more about that as we get into this on our next video. Boy, I tell you what, stay tuned. Come and just get with us every time we have these Adventures in Grace videos. By all means, subscribe to the YouTube channel Adventures in Grace. You can go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and follow us. And of course, as I'm reading testimonies right now, go to jhmi@jimhockaday.com, which is our email you'll find on our website, and send us your grace stories. Can't wait to see you next time.